When President Biden came into office, he victoriously declared, "America is back." That line was a pledge to work together with partners around the world, in contrast with the America First mantra from Donald Trump, which was a direct affront to U.S. allies. Today, as President Biden made his first address as president to the U.N. General Assembly in New York, he faced some tough questions over his foreign policy. He called on countries to put aside their differences, though, and he said the U.S. would lead.
But we will not go it alone. We'll lead together with our allies and partners and in cooperation with all those who believe, as we do, that this is within our power to meet these challenges, to build a future that lifts all of our people and preserves this planet.
We're going to turn to NPR White House correspondent Ayesha Rascoe, who is following the president's address in the UN meeting. Hi, Ayesha.
Good morning.
So the UN General Assembly started with searing criticism from the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, about the international response to the pandemic, right? What did he say?
Yes, he spoke before Biden, and he talked about really his disgust overseeing photos of expired COVID vaccines and vaccines left in the garbage.
A surplus in some countries, empty shelves in others. A majority of the wealthier world vaccinated, over 90% of Africans still waiting for the first dose. This is a moral indictment of the state of our world. It is an obscenity. We passed the science test, but we are getting an F in ethics.
There has been a lot of criticism over President Biden's plan to give Americans a third booster shot when most of the world can't even get the first one.
There have been other criticisms of President Biden as well, right, leading up to this speech, the way the U.S. withdrew from Afghanistan, which is top of the list. And, of course, the breakdown with France over this new defense partnership that the U.S. has struck up with Australia, essentially cutting France out. How did Biden use this speech to respond to those criticisms?
Well, he didn't really respond to any of the criticisms, but he tried to make the case that the U.S. is closing the chapter on 20 years of war in Afghanistan and is now going to focus on diplomacy. He talked about what he thinks the world needs to do together on the pandemic and climate change. He stressed that these problems can't be fixed with the military. But he did talk a little bit about competition in the world. He alluded to China and said the U.S. will stand up for itself and its ideals.
The United States will compete and will compete vigorously and lead with our values and our strength. We'll stand up for our allies and our friends and oppose attempts by stronger countries to dominate weaker ones, whether through changes to territory by force, economic coercion, technical exploitation, or disinformation. But we're not seeking, say it again, we are not seeking a new Cold War or a world divided into rigid blocks.
So his speech was full of Biden's broad vision, but so far the White House has not necessarily been living up to all of this rhetoric, especially when it comes to allies, and he didn't really address that disconnect in his speech.
I mean, to some degree, does Biden, just by not being Donald Trump, doesn't that give him some baked-in support among this ever-important UN crowd?
I mean, it does. He's a known quantity at the UN. As a senator, Biden was instrumental in brokering a deal on UN funding. I spoke with Richard Gowen, who is UN director for the International Crisis Group.
Joe Biden probably knows more about the UN than any other president in recent years, with the exception of George Bush Sr., who'd actually been an ambassador to the UN.
That history earns Biden a certain amount of goodwill, especially after Trump was so hostile to the UN. Still, Gowen says there are two things that Biden needs to show world leaders.
First, he's getting a grip on U.S. domestic politics, and that we're not going to see a return to Trumpism in a few years' time. And secondly, that he is still willing to provide U.S. leadership on global issues like COVID and climate change.
The honeymoon for Biden on the world stage is over. Countries want answers about how Biden views global engagement at this point. James Dobbins is a longtime diplomat who served under multiple presidents. He says Biden's previous speeches about the withdrawal from Afghanistan have been aimed at a domestic audience.
He said we didn't have a national interest in preserving the status quo in Afghanistan, and therefore we should leave and cut our losses. That's not an argument that's going to carry a lot of weight with the United Nations.
This moment at the UN gives Biden the opportunity to reset with allies and partners, says Elena Lyon of the University of New Hampshire. She's written extensively about the partnership between Washington and the UN.
But at the same time, words are pretty hollow right now. And so there's going to need to be some action on the part of President Biden and the Biden administration. They can't just talk the talk. They actually have to walk the walk.
So, Aisha, what's that walk going to look like?
Well, Biden is going to have a big virtual summit tomorrow about the pandemic. The White House has invited leaders and NGOs in the private sector to try to make commitments to boost vaccination rates around the world and help out poor countries. During his speech today, Biden did hint at the idea that the White House might be making some more pledges tomorrow. There's going to be a meeting with Quad leaders, which is India, Japan, Australia, and the U.S. They're going to be at the White House later this week talking about how to counter China. And then also on France, where mm-hmm. there has been that breakdown, the White House says Biden wants to talk to French President Emmanuel Macron on the phone to help smooth over some of these differences. But we don't know yet when that will actually happen.
All right. NPR White House correspondent Aisha Roscoe, thank you.
Thank you.